This podcast sponsored by Cherry Hill Volvo.
At Cherry Hill Volvo, we have absolutely incredible offers, and a plethora of both new and certified Volvos from which to choose. Join Cherry Hill Volvo for the pricing and attention you deserve. I am Judith Krupnik, president of Cherry Hill Volvo.
Rich Cioli Show Podcast.
The All-Star Game's coming to Philadelphia. Julian Assange is coming home to the United States to face prosecution, and the Attorney General of the United States under fire for using a word the media used all the time, spying. Welcome back to the show. Glad you're here. The Cioli Show on Twitter, at Rich Cioli. Don't forget, our big night with Governor Chris Christie is coming up next week, Thursday night. Tickets are still available. Not many, but you should get one. Go to 1210WPHC.com/speaker series. Get your ticket. We'll hear from Governor Chris Christie on all of this stuff regarding the Mueller report and the Attorney General and spying, his work in the Trump campaign, all of it. That'll be Thursday night at the Scottish Rite, Thursday the 18th, the Scottish Rite in South Jersey. So go to 1210WPHC.com/speaker series. Do it now. Get your ticket. And I'll see you next week on stage, me and the Gov on stage. Look, I think it's very, very obvious here that whether or not Julian Assange and WikiLeaks had anything to do with Russia or not, the arrest of Julian Assange lets the media continue the narrative. I mean, let's face it, that's what's already happening. Yeah, listen, you have to remember something. My job is to explain to you, not that you, I'm not saying that you, like, you can't figure this out on your own, but my job here is to try to break down what I think they're up to. You know, I've had a couple people tweet me today and say things like, Julian Assange just said it wasn't the Russians. I understand that. I understand that. But remember, though, that the deep state, they don't buy that. Maybe they do. They don't care. As long as they can put the narrative out there that Julian Assange and WikiLeaks worked with Russia, they can keep the Russia collusion narrative alive well after the Mueller report's filed. Well after the Mueller report's out and says that the president did not collude with Russia. They need something now to keep this report. They need something to keep Russia collusion out there. You notice how all of these different Democrats, even yesterday I played you audio, I think it was of Jerry Nadler, chairman of the House Judiciary Committee, Democrat from New York, talking about how there's collusion in plain sight. Like, they won't give it up. They just refuse to give it up. The idea that Julian Assange and WikiLeaks might have worked with Fancy Bear, an outlet of the GRU, the modern-day KGB, and then colluded with the Trump campaign to put out the emails, whether or it's true or not, it's never been about that. It's always been about narrative. It's always been about a narrative. Think about it. The very same people who were saying there should be an investigation into Trump-Russia collusion knew the whole time there wasn't going to show anything, that it was never going to show collusion. Yet they pushed for it. Why? Because it's not about proving anything. It's about a narrative that the president is bought by the Russians, that he's beholden to the Russians. It's about making him illegitimate. Why would the people who knew there was no collusion, like Brennan and Clapper, right? Those are the guys behind all this. Two liars, Brennan and Clapper. Comey, why were they behind and wanting an investigation that they knew would show no Russia collusion? Because the investigation was what it was about. The investigation was the insurance policy. Wake up! Peter Strzok and Lisa Page, two lovers, said it in their text messages. In the unlikely event this guy wins, it's the 40-year-old life insurance policy. This investigation will be their life insurance policy. It's the way to guarantee that even if he does win, he doesn't get anything done. They knew they were never going to find anything. They never thought there was any real collusion. It was always about faking an investigation to tie the president's hands, to make him irrelevant, thinking that as a result, everybody would turn on him, that he would be crippled and be able to get nothing done. They underestimated Donald Trump. It was never about actual Russian collusion. It's the reason why I look at the Julian Assange thing, and I think it's pretty obvious now that this is all about keeping the narrative of Russia collusion going. Do I think they think Fancy Bear did all this? I have no idea. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. It's just about narrative. They might even know it was a local hack. Hell, they may even know who did it. They may know that it was Mark Rich or Seth Rich. They may know. Who knows? It doesn't matter. I don't think Julian Assange is ever really going to even have a day in court. I'd be shocked. The process of extradition. Well, all that goes on. They can keep the Mueller-Russia collusion narrative alive. And they can talk about WikiLeaks, Fancy Bear, GRU, Putin. They can keep it going and they can overshadow Mueller's findings. And they can even come up with crazy theories like, well, Mueller still has to find out now. That's what he's got to do next. He's got to talk to Julian Assange. Julian Assange is wanted on several investigations. I'm never wrong on this stuff. And this morning on CNN, as the story's breaking that they got Julian Assange, a few days after, he's kicked out of the Ecuadorian embassy where he's lived for 7 years. Kicked out after the IMF, which is based in Washington, the International Monetary Fund, which is controlled by us, and the World Bank, controlled by us, give Ecuador billions of dollars in loans. All right? And then Ecuador, after 7 years, decides Julian Assange is no longer welcome, and they kick him out. Coincidence, right? Follow the money. On CNN today, they've already reignited the Russia collusion narrative, using Julian Assange as the way to keep the narrative going. Take a listen.
Big picture here, though, this is important because remember, he is central to several cases. He's central to Russian interference in the election. U.S. intelligence views him as a middleman, a cutout, that he was in effect part of this interference. He's central, too, to questions about what the Trump administration or Trump campaign, I should say, knew prior to the release of those materials, right? What were the communications between Roger Stone, etc.? Now, Robert Mueller may have already closed that case. But now you have a central witness in that case being extradited to the U.S. with the ability to question him on those topics.
See?
We should also remember, though, he's central to a case that preceded all of this, and this being the Chelsea Manning case, one of the big releases prior to the 2016 election campaign from WikiLeaks. And his lawyers now, Jennifer Robinson, been in touch with her for years. She's now saying that the extradition request from the U.S. relates to the Chelsea Manning case, which what is not clear is it confined to the Chelsea Manning case, or is that one of the issues that the U.S. wants to extradite him to the U.S. for questioning? I should also mention this is not his only legal problem, right, because he's been accused by two women in Sweden of sexual assault. And while those charges were dropped, I was in the courtroom when they went through all the evidence against him. While those charges have been set aside, Sweden made clear this morning they could reopen that case.
And those women said they were shocked. I mean, that one of them has put out a statement saying that she's been waiting for this for years.
Absolutely. And by the way, the British also have a case against him because he jumped bail, and that's another reason. So you got three governments, in effect, that are pursuing him.
But the relevant part of that is the first part when he talks about Mueller and WikiLeaks and the Russians. Now, Andrew C. McCarthy at National Review, he wrote a few thoughts on Julian Assange. This to me is the key point because I was asked on Twitter just a few moments ago by Philly Girl, but who wants him in the USA? The USA extradited him. Right. Go back to, let me share with you what former federal prosecutor Andrew C. McCarthy, the former United States assistant attorney who went after the blind sheik, very, very bright guy. I've had Andy on a million times. You see him on Fox News, right? The driving force of today's arrest seems to be an American effort to have Assange extradited. The Washington Post is now reporting that in 2017, the Justice Department charged Assange in a sealed indictment with conspiring to publish U.S. documents, specifically conspiring in 2010 with then Bradley Manning, a U.S. Army intelligence analyst, among others. Now, last year, in a court in the U.S. District Court in Alexandria, the Justice Department accidentally filed an application to seal a criminal complaint. It was not Assange's case, but the prosecutor obviously cut and pasted from a similar motion that had been filed in a case involving Assange and had failed to take out Assange's name. It is customary to file an arrest complaint under seal if the person charged is not in custody. An arrest warrant is issued, and the complaint is unsealed when the person is arrested and is presented in court. The sealing, obviously, is done to discourage flight and the destruction of evidence, though it would not have much effect in the case of Assange, who was already in flight and well aware the U.S. Justice Department was trying to make a case on him. Now, if you think about the deep state and you think about them wanting to get this guy, particularly after the DNC email release, if you think about it from that perspective, it makes perfect sense. The timeline of this 2017 fits well in with the Russia conspiracy collusion nonsense, which is why they wanted to get him as far back as then. So if you believe there's a deep state effort, if you believe that there are people working against the president who are actively involved in the Justice Department and the FBI or the intelligence community, whatever, if you believe that, then it, the timeline of this makes a lot of sense, does it not? And then Ecuador just happens to get billions of dollars in loans from the IMF and just happens to kick Julian Assange out days after the Mueller report comes out and right after the United States Attorney General says we're going to do an investigation into all this spying on a presidential campaign. I mean, I hate to sound like a conspiracy guy here, but these things don't add up. And what's really the charge here? There's two charges, as Andrew C. McCarthy breaks it down here. The one is if you're receiving top secret information and publishing it, notwithstanding the damage it does, he'll able to argue he's no different from the New York Times in that regard. He's a journalist, and he gets the information and he publishes it. And that the you know, the courts have ruled, the Supreme Court ruled in the case with the Pentagon Papers, that you have a right to publish, journalists have a right to publish classified national security information if it doesn't pose a direct threat, immediate threat on the homeland. Now, the second part of this, though, is the fact that he might have hacked a password or tried to hack a password or hack a computer or whatever. That obviously, there's nothing that shields a journalist from doing that. If you try to steal information, if you try to hack a computer, that doesn't, you can't get absolved of that. But that's a tougher bar to prove. And also, it's also very hard for them to prove that Julian Assange did anything wrong here, because you have a lot of people running to his defense today and saying, this guy's a journalist. He put out classified information, and the idea of prosecuting him for that, it would make the First Amendment shudder. Okay? Whether you agree with what he did or not, the point is he's got a First Amendment right to do it. The United States can't prosecute him for it. That argument is being made by a lot of people today, but not on Capitol Hill. Not on Capitol Hill. On Capitol Hill, there is a bipartisan chorus of Democrats and Republicans cheering that they got Assange, cheering this, saying they hope he dies in prison. Let him rot. What I have found, though, very interesting, is that it's particularly very loud among Democrats and Never Trumpers in particular. And I think that as long as you can have Julian Assange in the news, the longer the media gets to keep Russia collusion in the news and keep the narrative going, even after the Mueller report is growing cobwebs. And that's what this has always been about. It's never really been about collusion. They knew there was no collusion. It was always about an investigation. Having the investigation was the point. The investigation's the point, not the conclusion. They already knew what the conclusion was. They knew there was no collusion, but they wanted the investigation anyway. It was the insurance policy, because most people who aren't Donald Trump would have allowed the investigation to cripple them, completely bog them down where they get nothing done and they lose their support and they become ineffective. And then there could be a turning, a coup against that person through the 25th Amendment or through impeachment. But Trump's not a regular person. Trump fights back and says, this is ridiculous, and fights harder than ever. But if it had been a weak person, they could have succeeded. The investigation was always what this was about. Never collusion. The investigation was a way to hobble him and cripple him. And if they think that Julian Assange and WikiLeaks and a potential GRU, KGB, Vladimir Putin connection with hacking can be talked about and discussed and investigated, then absolutely they'll keep it going. It lets them keep the narrative alive at the very same time the attorney general is investigating the spying, at the very same time Mueller has concluded there's no collusion, at the very same time that guys like Jerry Nadler and Adam Schiff are coming out there and going, oh, no, there's collusion. There's collusion. And the media is already doing it, tying Assange to Mueller. I'm never wrong about this stuff. 855-839-1210. This is the only show. Your thoughts on the arrest of WikiLeaks founder Julian Assange. 855-839-1210. It is 515. Let's check in with Dawn.
Good afternoon, Dawn Stensland. Here it is, 515, 57 degrees. Talk Radio 1210 WPHT with news brought to you by The Terrace at Chestnut Hill. A crackdown on home contractors by the Pennsylvania Attorney General's office. 35 home contractors across Pennsylvania, that includes 8 in Philadelphia, are facing legal action after allegedly failing to comply with the state's Home Improvement Consumer Protection Act. So consumers are being warned to watch out for dishonest home improvement contractors, especially this time of year in the spring when people are trying to do a lot of home repairs. And the Attorney General releasing a statement talking about repair workers, especially roofers, and giving specific examples of homeowners, trusting homeowners who were ripped off big time. So 35 contractors facing big legal troubles. We have a Pennsylvania woman listed on a local police department's top 10 most wanted list, busted after she taunted the police in a Facebook post. So this is Chloe Jones. She implicated herself when she commented on the wanted post by the Greene County Sheriff's Office. She wrote, "Do you guys do pickup or delivery?" And then she put some crying laughing emojis. So police posted in their Facebook page, they said, "Ms. Chloe Jones and her witty comments are taking a hiatus from our Facebook comments section due to the jail not having internet for her to use." That was from the Greene County Sheriff's Office. Oops. And great baseball news with Major League Baseball announcing reportedly, well, they're going to play the 2026 All-Star Game in Philadelphia to mark the 250th anniversary, of course, of the Declaration of Independence. So it's very exciting and it's gone viral. Everybody's so psyched about it. So 2026. Eyewitness weather. Here's Katie.
And with just a few clouds overhead for the rest of the day and night, we drop down to 47 degrees. Tomorrow, still under some clouds, we eventually warm up nicely to 70. Just watch for some late day or early evening showers, if not a few thunderstorms. I'm CBS 3 meteorologist Katie Failinger. More weather at CBSPhilly.com.
Personal, compassionate care with respect and dignity for mom and dad. Call the Terrace at Chestnut Hill if you know mom or dad would benefit from moving into a new, better place to live. Now offering 1 month rent free. The Terrace at Chestnut Hill. Everyone deserves a great life. Dawn Stensland with the news. Talk Radio 1210 WPHT. Take us with you through your day exclusively on the radio.com app. Download it so you can listen to us anytime, anywhere.
Non-stop, baby. Non-stop talk. 855-839-1210 and 1210WPHG.com / speaker series to get your ticket to see Chris Christie next week. All right, it's a lot to discuss, but let me go to Lori and Ringo's patiently holding. Hey, Lori.
Hey, Rich. Hey, you know, I wouldn't have said this 10 or 11 years ago, but now I'm woke to the fact that, like, there's very few people in Washington that want the great unwashed American people to know what's really going on. So, you know, stuff like Benghazi, the IRS going after Tea Party conservatives, unmasking, all that crap. Before, I would have been like, yeah, you know, I don't want anybody sharing government secrets. Now I'm in the camp. I think of Julian Assange a little bit like Donald Trump. I don't necessarily love them as human beings, but I don't have to. If anything they can do, I support him and other people like him that are going to release stuff that is kicking over the tables and showing us what's really going on in Washington. And I think that's a good thing for our country and its ability to exist going forward. There is one reason I do want Julian Assange prosecuted. He had a cat called the Embassy Cat that lived with him for a couple years in the Ecuadorian embassy, and there are reports that, like, the embassy had to come up with requirements for him to take care of the cat and stuff and, like, clean up after it because he wasn't doing it, and he apparently finally got rid of it last October. Everybody was wondering today when he got arrested what happened to the embassy cat.
Right, the embassy cat. So animal cruelty.
Exactly. Those are the charges I'd like to see him brought up on.
Very good, Lori. I like it. Thank you so much for the call. I agree with you, by the way, not on the animal cruelty part, on the other stuff. Thank you for the call. I'm very distrustful of government. I was defending Edward Snowden years ago when people were calling and yelling at me, screaming at me. I said he's a hero for what he exposed about the NSA spying on us. I have never been one of those people that, you know, it's funny, too. There are talk show hosts who've been all over the place on this stuff. Not me. I, you know, what Edward Snowden did by exposing this massive spying on us. You know who else cheered back then was the media because he exposed spying. You know, The same people now that are going after the attorney general because he used the S word of spying, mocking him, they all used it back then. And they cheered on Edward Snowden. They cheered on Julian Assange. They cheered Chelsea Manning, Bradley Manning at the time. They cheered all these people. They are absolute hypocrites. And it's just, to me, it's just incredibly disappointing. 855-839-1210. Well, now you know what I think this is all really about. So now you know more than anybody else. Let's see here. Elizabeth Warren, the undocumented Native American, she reacted to Attorney General Bill Barr, saying he believed reacting to the economy, asked the question, is she a capitalist or a socialist? Cut 10.
Would you describe yourself as a capitalist or a socialist? Because there are portions of the Democratic Party who consider even the word capitalist a dirty word at best.
No. Look, I believe in markets, and I want to see markets work. I've seen the benefits that markets can produce, but understand this, markets without rules are theft. We need markets that have curbs on them, that have rules, so that it's a level playing field, and I mean a genuinely level playing field, so that people have a real chance to compete. And you know, it's good that we talk about this in the context of taxes. Because when we force those who've made it really big in this country just to pay a fair share in taxes, the point is not punitive. The point is to say, you had a great idea, you built a great business, good for you. But remember, you built that business using workers all of us paid to educate.
So she can't answer the question. You notice that? She won't answer the question if she's a capitalist or a socialist. She starts rambling. And then she gets back to that very famous line that she said years ago, you know, those roads, you didn't build those roads. We all built those roads. She was the one who said it, and then Obama said it. Remember that, all that whole thing? You didn't build that. She goes right back into it. Well, you know, Democrats now, they can't even pretend to be. I mean, she's definitely a socialist, but she's afraid to answer the question because she's a millionaire. She's a millionaire. 855-839-1210. This morning on the Today Show, or Al Roker's on the Today Show. Is that right? Yes, the Today Show. Yes. Al Roker had some warnings about climate change, and he used my favorite expression. I love when people use this. So take a listen.
Yeah. People magazine talked about climate change. That's really awesome that they picked it up and what you did.
I didn't know it was coming out
in Alaska.
It's a great
issue. You didn't know? Issue?
Well, yeah, I did an interview with the reporter, but I guess I forgot about it.
So what did they focus on? Just the fact that you were there?
Yeah. And she was just really loves climate and was very excited about what we were doing. And we were very grateful to People Magazine.
I do love that you have made this. And your platform is massive. I love that you have made this your cause.
Well, look, I think it's even if you're one of these climate deniers, if you don't care about yourself, how about your grandchildren? And your children.
Yes.
Because this is an issue. I was so thrilled Prince Harry yesterday mentioning that the two things that he's most concerned about, mental health and climate change. Mm-hmm. It's a big deal. It's happening. And what we tried to bring to people, that what happens in the Arctic doesn't stay in the Arctic. It is affecting our entire planet.
There you go. For the children. Thank you, Al Roker, for using that, because I love that. The children and the grandchildren. But grandchildren aren't going to be around. It's going to end in 12 years, right?
Unless you get busy.
You better get busy. Knock some boots. Let's go. Let's do this. Man, that's creepy. Now, we also have John Kerry now. This is John Kerry now with his prediction. Oh, no, this is different. This is John Kerry. The former presidential candidate with his dire prediction of dystopian future. It'll be like, I guess, the movie Waterworld with Kevin Costner. Cut 3.
The senator from Oklahoma, Senator Inhofe, has made some comments on the floor of the Senate that are either wrong on the facts or, I think, wrong in terms of the judgment politically. I wish he were really up to state of the art with respect to the science on global climate change. You have sea ice, which is melting at a rate that the Arctic Ocean now increasingly is exposed. In 5 years, scientists predict we will have the first ice-free Arctic summer. That exposes more ocean to sunlight. Ocean is dark. It consumes more of the heat from the sunlight, which then accelerates the rate of the melting, and warming rather than the ice sheet and the snow that used to reflect it back up into the atmosphere.
Got it? So the Arctic will be ice-free in 5 years. Now, what year is it now? It's 2019. So we'll see in 2024 if he's right. Yes, Greg.
This audio is from 2009. 2009, John Kerry said this. So that would have been 5 years, would be 2014.
Oh, you mean he predicted in 2009 that in five years, the Arctic would be ice-free.
Ice-free.
In 2009.
Yes, that piece of audio was from 2009. So what he was saying in 2014, parts of the Arctic will be ice-free.
You see, Dawn, this is why I should really start reading my cut sheet and paying attention. Very good.
I'm so glad he was wrong.
I know,
he said
right?
it with such authority. It's frightening.
But in his defense, in 2014, 7-Eleven did run out of ice on a hot July 4th day. I tried to buy some ice that day.
So tragic.
And it was very difficult. I had to go to Wawa. Yeah, I'm driving all over for ice, you know? And so on that sense, he was right. But then they just made more ice.
Ice somewhere melted, right?
Yeah. Yeah. My freezer didn't make ice one day because I accidentally turned the ice maker off. That happened in 2014. So... we have Gerald Nadler debating Gerald Nadler. This is 1998 Gerald Nadler debating 2019 Gerald Nadler on unredacted special counsel reports courtesy of Grabian. The Great Debate. Take a listen.
We are demanding and we have a right, Congress has a right to the entire report with no redactions whatsoever. Much of this material is Federal Rule 6E material, that is material that by law... unless contravened by vote of the House, must be kept secret. We're entitled to see it because Congress represents the nation and Congress has to take action on any of it. So we're entitled to see all of it.
The entire Judiciary Committee is going to see it to decide what must be kept confidential as protecting privacy of third parties. That means 50 people are going to see it. It's going to leak out. And those privacy rights are going to be violated, and that is ensured by this resolution.
He has said he will redact four classifications of information.
Right.
Our position is that he should redact none of it.
It represents statements which may or may not be true by various witnesses, salacious material, all kinds of material that it would be unfair to release.
Oh, ow. I think Jerry Nadler clearly won that debate.
Yeah, he did.
Right?
No question.
Dawn, who won that debate in your mind, Jerry Nadler or Jerry Nadler?
The second guy.
So, Greg, you go with the first guy?
Yeah, the first guy. Definitely the first guy.
Definitely the first. I'm going to go with the second guy to be on Dawn's side. Yeah. So,
So
Jerry Nadler beats Jerry Nadler in that debate.
The new crossfire.
The new crossfire. It's debates himself.
Oh,
I love
wait.
Do
you have to do that with Zioli's audio, Greg? Like, do Zioli versus Zioli. Like, put it... Not that you ever contradict yourself. That's the only problem.
Yeah, I don't ever do that.
Okay, well, never mind. Bad idea.
That would completely not... That's not the point of that.
Now, there are other talk show hosts, however. You can find those montages
that's
on YouTube.
That's true.
Yes, there are.
Of them
yes,
contradicting themselves.
Oof.
The
oof.
Big...
You'll never, ever, ever be able to put one together about me. That's for
it's
sure.
It's true.
But those others now...
Yeah, there's...
There's just saying.
There's definitely some out there.
I'm not telling you what to Google. Who to Google.
Oh, boy.
My favorite story today, that Pennsylvania woman who taunted the police on Facebook, and then they just got her. I just think that's so great.
I love it. She's young and pretty, and she smiles for her mugshot. I don't know if she's a little kooky or what, but...
You think?
She's definitely a little kooky.
What do you think gave it away?
Is it her Tinder profile?
That's why we like her.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, that's where she's like the Kensington hottie on the beach with Matt.
Yeah,
you know. So I'm just saying. And dog attacks on Philadelphia postal workers are rising. Do we know why? Do we know why this is happening?
Global warming.
Yeah, maybe they're hot. It's the global warming.
Is that what it is?
The ice caps are going to melt in 5 years.
Dog attacks on postal workers fell nationwide in 2018, but not in Philadelphia. On the rise. There were 51 attacks last year.
Wow.
Yeah, against postal workers.
Guys just trying to do their jobs.
I thought that was a myth. You know what I mean?
Mm-mm.
But no, they really go after the postal workers.
My dog Buddy on this pet, his National Pet Day or whatever. He loves everybody. He's such a good, but the mailman comes and he's, you know.
Really?
Yeah, I have to make sure he's not in the yard or anything. He goes crazy.
Do you think it's because they're, you know, they're, it's the government, like the dogs are.
It's their instinct. Watch out for big government. No, we have the nicest mailman for, you know, for years and years. I just think it's somebody that, you know, is not your family that's coming to your house every day. And they can't figure it out. Like, they who is that guy? And he, Joe, his name, he brings him treats, the whole thing, doesn't matter.
Oh, I love it. It's great. My dog always attacks the FedEx guy. He hates the FedEx guy. For some reason. Let me read you the headline here. China genetically engineering monkeys to be more human.
Oh, no.
What could possibly go wrong? I mean, it's not like they'd ever take over the Earth and have a Planet of the Apes.
I was going to say, we've seen this movie.
They are from MIT's Technology Review. It's the first attempt to understand the evolution of human cognition using a transgenic monkey model, said Bing Su, the geneticist at the Cumming Institute of Zoology. The modified monkeys did better on a memory test involving colors and block pictures, and their brains also took longer to develop as those of human children do. And there wasn't a difference in brain size. So, there you go. You know, it'll be... So who's going to be our overlords? Will it be the robots or the monkeys? That's my question.
Robot monkeys.
Robot monkeys, Dawn. Yes. Robot monkeys. I just think this is nuts. I mean, what... You know, tinkering with monkey brains is literally how they got Planet of the Apes. It's exactly how... It's literally the movie. Ah, well. Anyway. Dog attacks are on the rise. We should have the dogs go after the monkeys. Gene is in Chester Springs. Hi, Gene.
Hi, how are you?
Good, how are you?
I want to tell you why dogs don't like mailmen.
Go ahead.
You never let them in the house.
Mm.
They come by every day, and you never let them in the house.
But the dogs don't come by every day. The mailman comes by
by every day. Correct. And you never let them in the house.
So if you let them in the house, the dog wouldn't be angry anymore.
Right. Well, then they would think they were a friend. But the fact that they come by every day and you never let them in, there must be something wrong with them.
What if it's like Newman and he just shows up all the time? thank you, Gene. It's a very good theory. I like it. Very good theory.
There is some merit to it. Thank you. Right. Bye-bye.
You're welcome. We're going to look into that. Kathy's in Willow Grove on the story that Philadelphia leads the nation in dog attacks on postal workers. Yes, Kathy.
Hi, Rich. I love you guys. I love the show. And, they tease them. They tease the dogs.
The postal workers tease the dogs, you're saying?
Yes, they do. I had a little Jack Russell Terrier, a little short-legged Jack Russell Terrier. The postman used to have to come into my front yard through a cyclone fence gate. He would come up, and one day, my dog would always bark at him. I never knew why. He was a really nice dog, and one day I was home from work. So the postman comes, and I was in the house, the dog's barking, and I see the postman sticking mail through the mail slot, like, flinging it all over the place, making the dog bite it, pulling it back out, making him bite it. So, all right, I see what's going on. One day, another day I'm home from work. The dog's out in the yard. The postman comes. He rings the gate. You know, he jiggles it, and my dog was waiting behind the step.
Right.
So he let the postman come up the walk, and he sprung out on him. The guy flung all kinds of mail all over the yard. My Jack Russell latched onto his mail bag. The postman was swinging the dog all around the yard. Mail's going all over the place. But so I had to pick up mail with all kinds of dog poop on it and everything and try to give it back to the post office. But that is what happened because my dog never minded the postman until I saw what that guy was doing with the mail.
Do you think that gets around the dog community?
I think it does. Yeah,
and they talk, right?
Yeah, you know. They bark. Yeah. They all know, man. So that's but they tease them. I think they tease them. Yeah. So anyway, thanks for taking my call. I love you guys.
Thank you. You're welcome, Kathy. Thank you very much. I appreciate that.
I love it.
Gil is in Upper Dublin. Yes, Gil.
Hey, I got to say, I totally disagree with the previous caller. My dog loves the mailman.
Mm. Is it the leg? Does he like to hump the leg? Is that what it is? Or
no, wait a minute. My wife is home.
Ruh-roh.
Never mind.
Any of the kids look like the mailman?
Go. I gotta go.
This is a, it's open mic night here on the Scioli Show.
The problem. It's a problem.
I tell you, Joe, your screening gets better every day.
I agree, Rich. I think I'm doing a fine job. You're like the Tonight Show. You're the gatekeeper of all the comedians, Rich.
That's what it is. That's what it is. Don't forget to tip your waitresses.
Exactly.
And that sound of people changing the station, Joe, in the whoosh. It's like a whoosh. Like a,
I don't hear that sound. How do you hear that sound?
I've got only dogs and I can hear together. It's just the two of us can hear together.
You can
together.
Smell
it's
them
like
changing
a,
the station.
It's like a dog whistle. Is this a dog whistle? Is that what it is? Rich is in Beverly. Yes, Rich.
Good afternoon, Rich. Let me throw another idea in the mix.
Yeah.
It's a learned behavior the dog picks up and reinforces every day.
Can I make a point here? We have talked about Julian Assange, the Attorney General. This freaking dumb topic has gotten more calls today than any other thing I've done in months.
I'm sorry. I know more about dogs than Julian Assange.
I understand. So. All right. So you think the dogs learn behavior by the dogs?
It's a learned behavior because the mailman will come. Mm-hmm. The dog normally will bark out of fear or just to let his presence be known.
Right.
Well, the mailman leaves, and the dog in his mind thinks, I got him to go away. So when he comes back again, the next day, it's just a reinforcement over time. And a lot of this is because the dogs haven't been trained. I got a dog at home that'll stand there and just stare the mailman down. And he doesn't put up a big scene.
That's good. Stare him down. I like that.
He's a 130-pound Roddy, so he can do that.
All right. I like it. Thank you, Rich.
Okay. Thank you.
All right. If I take one, Joe, if you put on one more caller to talk about their theories on why dogs go after mailmen, I'm telling you, you're going to become a mailman because you're going to be done in radio.
Well, I can follow in the family business. My father's a mailman.
Well, there you go. Perfect. You'll be like John Kasich.
I like this.
Following daddy's footsteps. You'll be the son of a mailman.
I always told him I want to be a postman.
See? I like it. You and John Kasich can hang out together and talk about what it's like to be the son of a mailman.
I know.
The president said today that what Attorney General William Barr said yesterday regarding spying was absolutely correct. The president said, quote, I think what he said was absolutely true. There was absolutely spying into my campaign. So, good. There you go. And Trump said that, in his opinion, the surveillance of the campaign was illegal. And he said, I'll go a step further. In my opinion, there was illegal spying, unprecedented spying, and something that should never be allowed to happen in our country again. The president said those comments today in a meeting in the Oval Office with the South Korea president, Moon Jae-in. So there you go. And of course, now the Attorney General's comments has launched a sea of criticism from people in the media over his use of the word spying. Spying, which is a word that the media used all the time, repetitively, nonstop. I read you, because Byron York put out from the New York Times, four different times the New York Times used the word spying over the years to talk about Bush's spying and how it ended and everything like this. But on and on, the media, one after another, criticizing the Attorney General for use of the word spying. One after another. And this is what Nancy Pelosi, this is the vampiric one, Nancy Pelosi now, what she said, cut six.
On that subject of the Judiciary Committee, let me just say how very, very dismaying and disappointing that the chief law enforcement officer of our country is going off the rails yesterday and today. He is the Attorney General of the United States of America, not the Attorney General of Donald Trump. So again, as was said by our other colleagues, in terms of Mr. Jeffries, our Mr. Chairman, said earlier, the way people are leaving and the rest, it's very dismaying. They're leaving in disgrace or with dismay, but it's all damaging to our country.
Disgrace or dismay. But this is because the Attorney General dared to bring up spying. which is something that, you know, when Edward Snowden, speaking of Julian Assange, right, when Edward Snowden revealed the NSA metadata gathering over and over and over again, you heard how the government was spying on us, right? Over and over again, the New York Times wrote stories about and the spying. How does a FISA warrant work when the government spies on an American citizen? This spying bill is going to be terrible. On and on. You heard the media talk about spying all the time. Now, to use the word spying, is crazy and off the rails. The hypocrisy is just absolutely amazing to me. It really is. And Julian Assange, you know, I spent a lot of time on this theory. I just find the timing of this so incredibly suspect, considering that Ecuador received billions of dollars in loans from the IMF and billions of dollars from the World Bank, and now they decide to suddenly release Julian Assange right after the Mueller report comes out and shows no collusion, just so they can keep the narrative of Russia collusion going. They know there isn't any, but it's not about that. It's about keeping the narrative going. Let's see, an email today from Michael. Hey, yo, Rich, do you ever not spew the company line? A backbone would make your family proud. I agree, Michael, and thank you for listening. I've long sought a backbone. And, wait, are you being negative? Do you ever not spew the company line? I think it's a double. Anyway, appreciate you listening, Guy. Thank you very much. I know you'll never listen again. All right, Greg, let's do it.
Who won Twitter?
I'm going to give it to Joe Q Public. This is an obscure one, but boy, it's funny. He says, Rich, fun fact, people who listen to the Nadler debate on the radio thought 1998 Jerry Nadler won, but people who watch it on TV thought 2019 Jerry Nadler won.
I love it.
It's a reference
That's
to the
fantastic.
Nixon-Kennedy
Nixon,
debates.
Nixon-Kennedy, yeah. Look at that. You see, our audience is see? Smart and funny.
Joe Q Public wins Twitter today.
Well done, Joe Q Public. You see, Don, we have the smartest and funniest and most creative audience in radio.
So true.
And Tuesday, we're going to be live from Citizens Bank Park because it's a big old press conference they're having with the commissioner of baseball and all these people. And Dawn's job on Tuesday is going to see if she can get Kenny for an interview.
I'll try.
If anyone can do it, it's you.
Yes, 100%.
Certainly ain't me, that's for sure.
Well, you can. But, I can. You can give me a list of what you want to ask.
I love it. I love it. I have a whole list of questions for him.
Because
Kenny won't come on the show.
Zioli says you're a dope. How do you respond to that?
Zioli says you're a coward because you won't come on his show, Mr. Mayor. How would you like to respond to that? Because I do think he's a coward because he won't come on the show. Because he's a coward. Hey, Mayor, you're a coward. Come on the show. Aw. Go on WHYY. They'll ask you tough questions. They'll ask you real tough questions. Like, what's your favorite color? Do you like soup? Are you a soup guy? All right, listen, my final thought and Mark Levin straight ahead.
Rich Zioli, 3 till 6, Talk Radio 1210, WPHD.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.